It's Jenny and Bill with Simple Bath and Kitchen.
We know the world feels a little crazy sometimes, but your home, that should be your safe place.
A beautiful kitchen for your family, a bathroom that feels like your own private retreat.
At Simple Bath and Kitchen, we have a fine-tuned process that makes remodeling something that you can actually enjoy.
Because when everything outside is unpredictable,
your home should be exactly what you need it to be.
Visit us at simplebathandkitchen.com to regain your peace today.
We make it simple for you.
141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Rangers are underway in Leverkusen as they look to pull off a Europa League shock. Celtic's search for a new striker goes on with Stephen Fletcher and Lyle Taylor linked with the club. And an Aberdeen player tests positive for coronavirus ahead of this weekend's scheduled clash with St Johnstone. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Yeah, we're underway, Gordon. 5 minutes into this game against Leverkusen and already we're seeing the way it's shaping up. You know, it's a very different game from what Rangers faced on Saturday against Aberdeen. Leverkusen with a lot of possession and they will find it hard. A big ask for Rangers. Need to obviously score 3 goals to have any chance of going through. They'll give it their best shot. And who have they got up front? Alfredo Morelos.
And he's in the box at the moment, but it's a heavy touch and it just allows Bayern to clear almost a dream start to the game for Rangers. Bayern Leverkusen 0, Rangers 0 with 6 minutes on the clock. Gordon, I think everyone acknowledges it is a massive ask for Rangers to win 3-0 for instance, or that type of scoreline to progress. But there's still the chance to, never know, win the game, draw the game, put in an impressive performance and maybe, just maybe, pull off the shock.
I think it's about taking some positives out of the game tonight, Gordon. I can't see them winning. They're up against a quality side, but they had a good opportunity there. Barisic down the left hand side, gets his head up, good ball in. Morelos, his touch was woeful. They'll be looking a bit better from him, but is this his last game tonight? But I can't see Rangers going through to the next round, and I just think it's all about the positives, getting more sharpness, because they're up against good quality tonight. It'll be a real good workout for them, and I think that Steven Gerrard, if he can get, you know, as long as he doesn't get beat, I think he'll come back very happy.
We've been used to these weird kick-off times earlier on in the season, but it's quite a good chance for you to just watch the game with us, if you like. You can phone in as it's progressing, tell us what's catching your eye, what are you pleased with, what do you think you need to do better. 0141 951 1025 to have your say, and at Clyde SSB on Twitter. We want to hear from you. What is on your mind this evening? Just a recap of the teams if you are just joining us. Rangers go with McGregor in goal, a back four of Tavernier, Goldson, Hollander and Barisic, Jack, Davis and Aribo. The midfield three, it's Kent and Barker out wide, and Alfredo Morelos leading the line. Firth, Edmondson, Hadji, Jones, Stewart, McCrory, Bourjonas, Arfield, Mayo and Patterson on the bench. What jumps out for you there, Gordon?
Centre-back, Hollander. Not played a lot of football, Gordon. Watched his pre-season game against Coventry. Come on, he looked well off the pace. Edmondson's been playing really well, and he was unfortunate to be left out on Saturday. I totally understand it. But tonight I thought he'd have played. It may just be a case of getting him a bit of match fitness. And also Hadji, who's been in terrific form for Rangers, looking at Barker on the flanks with Kent, maybe looking for a counter attack bit of pace and behind the defence. So tactically he's went a bit different, but he's got to make sure that at the back they defend well, because this team has got a bit of quality about them.
Yeah, Leverkusen shooting wide of target at the moment. 8 minutes gone, Mark. It's quite the welcome back for Filip Hollander. He's not played competitive football in 8 months. I think he's had 30 minute run out in pre-season. That is it, and he's back in the team against a very good European outfit.
Yeah, you wonder if that signals what Steven Gerrard actually thinks of this tie. Like Daz was saying there, Edmondson has played a lot of football in pre-season and impressed in the games he's played. And then, okay, he was unlucky to get dropped for Balogun, who did very well. You'd expect him to come straight back in, but for Hollander not to have played a lot of football almost suggests that he's maybe trying to get minutes under his belt in this game. So that's a surprise. Barker's another one, and from the cold, not really featured a lot, but his pace is certainly going to be important tonight. So that'll be an interesting one to see if Rangers can maybe adapt a different style and drop Aribo back into the midfield.
Although, Gordon, we have seen this horses for courses approach from Steven Gerrard when it comes to European games, because Brandon Barker, this is his first start since November, since a 2-0 win at home to Porto. So it is the European games that Steven Gerrard obviously likes to use his pace on the counter-attack.
Yeah, and I can understand why, Gordon, because you give up a lot of possession away from home, and the minute you get your ball, you look for a bit of pace in behind to turn their defence, get you up the pitch. That's maybe he's thinking tonight. The only thing is, in my personal opinion, after Aribo's start to the season, he's taken a little bit away from his team for me, because I think he's been different class in that forward third. I really do. But it's all about tactically, and that's why he's got a big squad there. To go for different games, change tactically, have a different approach to it. He knows that he's not going to dominate this game tonight, so he's looking for the counter attack and try and catch Leverkusen at the back.
And they've got the chance to do that at the moment. Alfredo Morelos just playing on the shoulder, but well defended. I think it was Ryan Kent tried to slide the ball through, and you can see it, Mark. You can see the game plan. They've not managed to execute it perfectly yet. But you can see it, win it back in the right area, and then try and spring a counter and catch Bayern going the other way.
Yeah, I think if that's Barker that's chasing that ball instead of Morelos, he's on, you know, and we have a chance of getting that. But it was a nice move from Rangers, straight from the goalie. Kent, lovely little flick round the corner, and he tries to thread that through. Leverkusen a high line, so you can see why Steven Gerrard's went for pace with Kent and Barker on the side tonight.
And there's a lot of 2+2 going on at the moment with regards to Alfredo Morelos, because Rangers have signed two new strikers. Many people would then conclude that he at some point in the near future is going to leave the club, and therefore is it a risk playing him tonight? That's the sort of narrative that's been building up over the last couple of days. But he is the only available striker as it stands. He's Rangers' best striker. He plays, yes, on one hand, Mark, he's got one goal since Boxing Day, but on the other hand, he's got 14 in Europe this campaign, and he's the joint top scorer in the Europa League.
Oh, you play him all day long. I mean, the thing is with Alfredo Morelos as well, if you look at his injury record, it'd be mighty unlucky if he gets injured tonight and it scuppers him a move, as we see Aribo take one of the worst shots I've ever seen in my life.
But we've all been there with that one.
Yeah, but I mean, it'd be mighty unlucky to pick something up. So I think when you're looking at your bench and you don't have a Jermaine Defoe there or someone else, or you can't pick Rufy or anybody else, of course you play him. And you rightly point out there, Gordon, his record in Europe this season has been sensational. So you go into this game, you think it's a mountain to climb, but your best chance is with your top goal scorer leading the line, that's for sure.
I go the other way. I totally understand what Mark was saying there, but I think that if you've brought in two strikers and paid a few quid, Gordon, and you're probably depending on Morelos' money coming in to play him tonight, but to be fair, Steven Gerrard has said he's had a chat with him, he wants to play, and that's great for Rangers. But I just think that you've got to safeguard that money, because anything can happen in football. I don't think Rangers are going to turn this tie around with Morelos or without Morelos. So I think you've got to safeguard it for the money, I think.
Showing promising signs within the game, Gordon. Whether it's enough to win the tie overall, that remains to be seen. But again, into the box there, Joe Aribo. Brandon Barker showing good running towards the defence, trying to make something happen.
Well, tactically, I think that's what Steven Gerrard's looking for, you know, just to get Leverkusen up the park, get Barker with his pace to go at defenders, knock it in behind, get them turned, Kent the same. Morelos, he'll do his usual right through the middle. Anything comes in, he's hoping to get on the end of it. I think Rangers showing a bit of confidence, knocking the ball about now. As I say, I think you can take a lot away from this game tonight. I may be wrong, Gordon. They could, you know, miracle turn it round. I don't think they will, but I think it's about positives. And I think that if you get minutes into guys that haven't been playing, you get a good performance. Like, say, Davis is in tonight as well, to get some minutes into him. So I think if you can get some positive, make sure you don't go away with, you know, losing 3-0 or something like that, then I think that Rangers can build on that.
Why not watch it along with us? 0141 951 1025. What did you make of the team Steven Gerrard picked? What do you make of the start to the match? And how do you see it going between now and the end of the 90 minutes? 13 gone, Leverkusen 0, Rangers 0. We want to hear from you. We are on Twitter as well, at Clyde SSB. Usual phone number though. Mark Wilson, when you consider the level of opposition though this evening, we had Derek Ray, knows his stuff, about German football. He was on the show last night. Kai Havertz, for instance, linked with a move to Chelsea. They're talking, you know, 60, 70, 80 million pounds. Was ever so impressive in the game at Ibrox. So that's the level that Rangers are up against.
A sensational player. And you hear Bayer Leverkusen, you think, you know, them being... they once were kind of superpower when they were in the Champions League final and always getting to the latter stages, and they kind of died away from that. So you don't probably hold them the same prestige. But there's no doubt when they came to Ibrox, they opened my eyes up in terms of what a quality side there and the way they played the game. But some of their individuals, and Havertz is the pick of the bunch. Like you say, Chelsea rumoured to be going to sign him. I'm sure Steven Gerrard would have hoped that he wasn't risked tonight and he was left out, but he's started. So it just adds to how difficult an evening is going to be. I mean, Leverkusen, you know, had a wee break themselves, but it doesn't look like it's affected them and how slick they are with keeping possession.
And Mark's right, Gordon, he never gets injured, he's always available. But Alfredo Morelos just took a real sore one and was down clutching the back of his leg. He's fine and he's up, but it was a heavy tackle. Arangui's got booked for it.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if the Rangers accountant had a little
close your eyes, say please Gob quickly
moment.
Yeah, it was definitely a yellow card, Gordon. That's why I'm saying
good shot. And that man we're talking about, Kai Havertz, caught it. I think it clipped the top of the bar and it went over. So a let off for Rangers.
That's what you're dealing with. Rangers looked comfortable. Ball just goes in the box, first time shot. McGregor, I think's beaten there and comes off the bar. Shows you how dangerous they are, Gordon. But going back to Morelos, that's why I'm saying that, as much as I can understand all the arguments about playing him, if you're depending on the money coming in for him to make sure that, you know, you finance the two centre forwards coming in, I think it's a little bit of risk. And you see the tackles that are flying in. There's another one there. I don't know, is it Stephen Davis, Mark? I just didn't catch that. When
yeah, I think
there.
So. Rangers looking to play at the back. No, it's Ryan Kent. Rangers
Ryan Kent.
It was the exact same move they tried as they got a wee bit of success with Morelos. Into Kent this time. He tries to turn, but Bayern read it this time. And Kent takes him out. So a free kick to Leverkusen and a promising error, you'd say, to cross
it. You would certainly say they're not holding back.
Ball into the box. We'll just stay with it. It comes to absolutely nothing. Let's speak to Nathan, who is a Rangers fan on the line. What have you got for us tonight, Nathan?
Well, I looked at the team sheet and, to be honest, I don't agree with it. Like, obviously, I like Aribo, but to be honest, Hadji, I thought Hadji should have been a main start. Like, he should have started the game because he adds a lot of physical presence and a wee bit of pace. So I'm not too happy with Aribo in there.
Aribo has been playing absolutely brilliant, Nathan, I've got to say. Aribo has got to be a start in your strongest 11 just now with the form he's in. Agree a little bit is I think that with dropping Aribo back, I think that's taking a little bit away from his play. But you can understand Steven Gerrard getting away from home, and Hadji is a top quality player for them.
Would most people, and each to their own and all that, but would most people not suspect that it's Hadji's lack of pace that has him out the team tonight?
Yeah, Nathan, for me, that's the point for me. I think Hadji is a promising player. I think he's brilliant on the ball, brilliant set piece taker. I think he's lacking in pace, if anything. I think we saw that at times at Pittodrie as well on Saturday, one in particular in the second half where he probably could have ran away, taken a touch and ran through, and he decides to pass it. I think that's why Barker's on the side. You know, Barker and Kent for out and out pace, because Hadji, I don't think Hadji's got that burst of 5 yards to get away from somebody and leave them for dead the way Barker has.
A lot of talk, Nathan, about, you know, is it a risk to play Morelos? If you're going to sell him, do you protect him and all the rest of it? But, you know, Steven Gerrard was pretty clear. Most of the Rangers fans were pretty clear. And he starts tonight. You happy with that?
Well, yeah, because in all honesty, who else do we actually have to start? Yeah. Greg Stewart, he's not a goal scorer yet. Last season he never played enough games, but obviously the manager never seen enough in training to be able to start him in games.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so the early signs,
happy really with Morelos up front, so yeah.
I mean, the early signs, Nathan, that there are opportunities for Rangers here. They've not managed to really break through and take one, but in terms of the way they're breaking away from Bayern, it looks like they might get opportunities tonight. Are you feeling relatively comfortable so far?
Yeah, but obviously you need to watch out because they've got Havertz and all that, so he can break through their defence. But I've also got a question for the panel. what they think about what Jamie O'Hara has been saying about Steven Gerrard, Rangers and Bournemouth. But he's obviously talking absolute rubbish, because if you ask about the whole, people in Europe say, who's Bournemouth? Are they really going to know who Bournemouth is? But if you ask, who are Rangers Football Club? You'll find somebody that will know everything about Rangers. They're just a well-known team throughout the world.
The biggest surprise for me, Nathan, in this conversation is people getting involved in it. I wouldn't even give it a time of day for him to come out and say something like that. I wouldn't even give him a time of day. Honestly, look, he's on the radio. It's like everything else. Sometimes we throw something in there to wind a few people up.
See, but honestly, I think you're being hard on yourselves. I don't really recall anything as sort of blatant as that. But anyway,
nonsense is that. Bournemouth.
Oh, no, you talk nonsense. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, but
absolute. I wouldn't even give it the time. I wouldn't even answer that question with Jamie Harr. I couldn't be bothered with that. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense.
Do you know what I love about these things, Mark? Is we are very, very into our tribalism in this part of the world. We love to put down our rivals and build our own team up. But see, when someone slags the Scottish game or slags the size of our two big clubs, everyone sort of comes together.
And it's we're like all on the one team, one big team again. So it's incredible. But I think Scottish football's took so much of a knocking over so long for the English, and there's always a sense of arrogance from them that any side could come up here and win this Scottish Premiership, and it's just not the case. And then to suggest that small teams, very small teams in England, are bigger than our biggest two is ridiculous. So, yep, we're right to all stick together and put Jamie O'Hara down, that's for sure.
You are right, Gordon, and I don't say that lightly. Believe me, it's almost like it doesn't even really deserve a response.
No.
Why should we have to even justify that? I mean, what sort of crowd will Bournemouth get in the lower reaches of the Championship? Even, and we're not even talking Celtic and Rangers here. We're talking in comparison to Aberdeen, to Hearts, to Hibs. You know,
not even a crowd, Gordon. The club itself. And well done to them.
I was going to say poor Bournemouth are getting it for everybody.
Exactly. And it's not Bournemouth's fault, it's someone else's fault. But you've got to congratulate them, the journey that they've been on. But to compare them even in the same sentence as a club of the size of Rangers and Celtic is absolutely ridiculous.
Right, Nathan, I'm going to let you cheat a wee bit, because there's a quarter of the game gone. So I wouldn't usually be this generous, but give me your score prediction anyway.
I say 3-1 Rangers. And then I think it'll go to extra time and possibly even penalties. I think Rangers will go through. I think they might sneak a wee goal in extra time and win it.
Do you know what? I love your optimism. They almost fell
He's
behind there.
He's not watching the TV, Nathan, is he?
Well, 3-1, he said. There's room for a Bayern goal here. Kai Havertz through. And do you know what? For a player of his quality, you'd expect better. It was a great run and a good touch, but a poor finish and a massive let-off for Rangers. It's still Leverkusen 0, Rangers 0. Nathan, we hope you enjoy the game, and I hope we'll speak to you soon. We are going to get some travel with Stephen. Then we're going to look at Celtic's striking situation. Celtic fans, Stephen Fletcher, Lyle Taylor. Yes or no? Which one? Or yes to both, no to both? You decide.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, asking for you Celtic fans to get in touch and tell us what you think of Lyle Taylor and or Stephen Fletcher. Two names heavily linked with a move to Celtic this summer. So let us know what you think. 0141 951 1025. It's still goalless in Leverkusen. We've got a water break. I understand it is roasting over there, to be fair. You weren't having it. You scoffed as soon as you saw that the cooling break, as it's officially known. You're cooling. Not having it.
Nah, well, I'm having it now, seeing the temperature's quite high. I can understand it. But if the temperature's like over here, we don't need a cooling.
Is that right?
Cooling break.
Because you looked like you needed one earlier. Some cheek, Mark. He probably wouldn't want me to tell this on air, but
tell me. Sounds good.
Mark, I need details.
Regular listeners to the show will know that he's been waiting on a hip hop for quite some time, right? Mm. And lockdown happened, it's been pushed further back. If it was anyone else, you would almost feel sorry for him, right? But he's waiting on the hip operation and he can barely walk. He hasn't let it get in the way of doing some of the things that he likes to enjoy. Well, I'm talking about golf, by the way, just before anyone gets ahead of themselves. And he's got himself a little mobility scooter, you know, like the OAPs use, right? But he's got one of them and he straps his golf clubs to the back. And everybody that sees him laughs at him as they do, right?
They all laugh at you.
He turns heads. He turns heads in the golf course. However, however, you might have noticed it's been pouring with rain.
Yeah.
The golf course is a little bit soft, so he wasn't allowed to use his mobility scooter on the course today, and he had to walk. And honestly, I hope I don't open any wounds for anyone here who's suffered this heartbreak recently. See, if he was a dog, you would have had to make that decision. You would have put him down. He was
that bad.
Should have seen the nick of it.
I got to 11 mark and
pouring sweat.
I was seeing him and he sat down. Right. I couldn't let go of I got a push trolley. And only because of the love of the sport and go out and do a bit of exercise, I couldn't let go of the trolley because I'd have probably fallen on the ground. Just before we get any further, we hit our golf shots. I go to walk, well, hobble. He's 40.
I've got places to be. I need to come in
40.
Here.
He sent his third shot before I got to
I need to come in here and plan the show. I've got places to be. And honestly, it was
well, I'll tell
hilarious.
You, I'll tell you just quickly how bad it was. I was walking off, I passed a 90, and four members were very concerned about my health.
He was saying to me, if I don't make it in tonight, just tell Wilson to do it on his own.
Well, thanks for the invite anyway, boys.
We're delighted that you're here. Right, cheers. David in Blantyre is on the line, 01419511025. David, Stephen Fletcher's name has been linked. It doesn't look like the move is quite as close as previously thought, but he's one that Neil Lennon's keeping an eye on. And now Sky reporting this afternoon that Lyle Taylor could be the man for Celtic. What do you think of those names?
In regards to Stephen Fletcher, good evening to the two Gordons and Mark.
Hi, David.
I hope you're all well. Just in regards to you struggling a wee bit there, Gordon at Motherwell. I hope you're not going by Mary Street in one of those.
That's exactly where he goes.
I don't go by Mary. You seen me?
No, I want Motherwell.
Oh,
right, David, if you see someone struggling up that hill on a mobility scooter or hobbling up, it's him. Pull over and give him a tow.
Absolutely. Shooting a cup for shooting a sandwich, I'll be willing to help him do it. As I've seen, guys, in regards to the spike situation, firstly, I'd love, obviously, to see Odson and Edwards stay for the season. I know that talks have broken down in regards to an extension on his contract, albeit in a couple of years, but the worry that I've got, if he continues, he's fine form into this season with the transfer window being open to early October. Again, we might get the water might get tested. But in regards to Stephen Fletcher, bringing him in as a backup, another option, yeah, why not? I know that obviously Gordon Strachan tried to sign him in 2009. In the January window, we didn't get him. Then he went to Burnley, and then obviously went to his other clubs when he was much younger. So, yeah, I mean, why not? Lyle Taylor, no, not for me. And I would also say as well, Ivan Toney, that Barry Fry is, it's a something reminder, the way that he's trying to punish player. To me, it's fine. And for a guy, yeah, he scored a lot of goals in League One, remember. It's not a championship. So, he's signed players to the championship before in regards to guys like Gary Hooper, who have come up and done a great job for Celtic. But it's League One, and they're obviously looking to boost the price tag up, get as much as they can. England's an inflated market, as we all know. We've never seen so many players go for so much money in terms of transfer fees and wages that... But you know what I'm coming from.
Yeah, quite a lot to get through. So let's try and kind of break them down, David, one by one. So Stephen Fletcher, to the guys in the studio now, reports last night suggesting this was pretty close and it was going to happen. We understand. I think he's back up here and he's certainly open to it. I don't think it's that close, but it's certainly one. It's an option. David is pretty happy with it. What about you?
Pretty split about it, if I'm honest.
Sitting in the fence, probably.
I do think Celtic need a target man. I've thought that for a number of years now. Just something different when things aren't going well. I don't think anyone's going to displace Edward for as long as he's there. But they've got Griffiths, they've got Klamala, you know, two kind of quick players, good finishers, but they've not got that target man. So yes, I think that position needs to be filled. Whether it's Stephen Fletcher, look, he's 33 now. He's been at a host of clubs, hugely experienced, but will he be mobile enough? Or, well, first of all, do Celtic need him to be mobile enough? But you would think so. The way Celtic play and Neil Lennon play, the speed of the pace that they play at, you would think they need a mobile front man. And I'm not sure Stephen Fletcher is that. I'm not saying he's a bad player. I think Stephen Fletcher does have his qualities. You know, he would flick things on. I think his first touch is exceptional. He does a good job for Scotland. But would he fit into the Celtic team? I'm not so sure.
Who's the caller out there that when we spoke about him for Scotland a few years ago called in and said that he had the best first touch in Europe? Somebody out there phoned in. So phone us back and let us know. David, is that the way you would see it in terms of fulfilling that very specific role? You know he's not playing on the shoulder and running in behind. He's 33 years of age, but we know a lot about him. We see him in the Scotland shirt, and you know specifically what type of job he does.
See the thing is, the way I look at it as well, guys, is that he's not the most mobile, we know that, but he's great with the ball on his feet, ball on his chest, in the air. Celtic are playing, if we continue to play with a 3-5-2, balls are going to come in wide all the time to the fullbacks, why not? Why not have him as a backup, another option?
I think for one season, I would take the gamble on that. I think he's a very experienced player. When you've got, if you take Edward out of the team, Edward's brilliant now in the link-up play. He's added so much to his game. If you take him out of the team, for instance, and then you've got Klamala and you've got Griffiths, they like to play in the shoulder. Klamala cannot link the play up. Never in a million years. He likes to go in behind. Griffiths likes to play in the shoulder. You'll need someone. Now, you don't need someone mobile that's got to run in behind all the time. You need someone that's going to hold the ball up. And like, say, if El Yanoussi or Christie and making runs off them, the timing of
Forrest.
The runs. Forrest, yeah. So I think you've got the pace already there, Gordon, in the team.
Yep.
I just think if you can get Fletcher up as a backup, I think he'd be a decent addition to the squad.
David, the thing is, you're not signing him in the hope that he's going to be absolutely prolific. However, he actually comes off the back of a pretty good goal scoring season. Remember, Sheffield Wednesday finished in the lower half of the Championship, so they weren't a brilliant side, and he got 13 in 27. So he's round about 1-2, which at that level, that's a pretty good season in front of goal, is it not?
Yep, absolutely. And he's had a decent scoring record. You know, when he went down south initially, he was at Burnley, then he was at Wolves, and then he went to Sunderland, you know, and various, obviously, you know, teams that were relegated from the Premiership and so forth. But he always scored goals, but it's his all-round play. And I think, you know, why not? If it's for a season, two seasons, why not bring the guy up? But again, he brings experience, he brings nous, and he brings goals as well, because I have no doubt he'll score. If he can score goals in the Premiership at lower level teams, in terms of Burnley, Sunderland, Wolves, he can score goals in Scotland, absolutely. And he's done the habits before he left.
Right, you were pretty sure, in your opinion, that you don't want Lyle Taylor. Now, that's Sky are reporting that this afternoon. There seems to be something in that one. Why are you so sure you don't want him?
Well, he was at Charlton. I know he played, I think it was with Patrick Thistle up here before.
Yeah, Falkirk as well.
Maybe Falkirk as well, yeah. No, not for me. No, it's just having a look at things and no. But that's just my opinion. Not to say it's right or wrong, but no, and it's the same as I said earlier on, the Ivan Toney. You know, the guy scoring the goals in League One. Nah. And then his price is going to get inflated. Nah, not for me.
If we're comparing the two, Lyle Taylor's a little bit younger than Stephen Fletcher. He's 30 years of age, as David quite rightly says. We know him fairly well. Spells with Falkirk and Thistle. He has scored goals everywhere he's been. You can't argue with that. Falkirk in particular, he was quite prolific. It was short spells at Thistle, but again found the net during them. And again last season, a struggling Championship team, he was a 1-2 man, only managed 22 appearances but scored 11.
Yeah, that's a good return for what he's been asked to do there. Like you say, if you look through his stats everywhere he's been, he's had a decent goal scoring return. So I would think he was maybe, you know, more of a goal poacher than probably Stephen Fletcher would be. A different option than Stephen Fletcher would be. Wee bit younger, but listen, none of the two of them are spring chickens, so you can see the kind of the type of personnel Neil Lennon's want to bring in. He's not wanting to bring in a young striker. He's wanting to bring in somebody that's tried and tested and someone who's not going to be phased with the tasks that have been asked him. I get Lyle Taylor isn't a big name because to the fans because of Thistle and Falkirk. I think Celtic fans will look at that and go, nah, not for me.
Here's a question then. If Celtic sign one and you get the choice of the other one, who are you hoping you get for Breakin?
For Breakin?
Nah. Taylor or Fletcher?
I think we just might be at our.
No, but range. Who would you take if you were
for Celtic?
Yeah.
Who would I take? I would take Lyle Taylor.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised at that. Not to say I disagree, I just thought you were going to go Stephen Fletcher. I was thinking the lower league teams have still to vote on whether to use the nine subs or not, or put nine subs in the bench, sorry, name. You can use five, is that right?
Yeah.
Because I'm wondering if Wee Dave, Phil London, is in with a shout.
Remember Wee Dave?
Listeners to the show last season will remember Wee Dave, who was the trialist who just decided to pack up his car in London, looked at the Scottish League tables, found that Breakin were rock bottom of everything, and thought, I'm going to give that a go. And he drove up for a make or break trial with Breakin, and it didn't quite go to
plan. Dave, if you're listening out there,
we'll take you back.
Because we're struggling for squad numbers at the minute, so you could be in me a shout. And the good thing about him is he plays anywhere.
He
what
does
position?
Everywhere. The best thing about him actually is that he called you coach. I like that. Hey coach.
Coach, I'm here to do a job for Breakin. Breakin, he was calling.
He didn't even give him a chance.
I did.
No, you did not.
I let him join in the warm up. And he led the warm up. He was trying to win the warm up.
He Dave was eager. He wanted a contract with Breakin.
Right, from one Dave to the other. Thank you, David and Blantyre, for getting in touch. Let's move straight on and speak to Brian in Black Hill. Similar topic. What do you think, Brian? Lyle Taylor, Stephen Fletcher, any of the above?
Hi guys, I hope you are all well first of all. Regarding the Celtic striker situation, for me it's a no-brainer. Celtic should sign Stephen Fletcher, 13-27 in the Championship for a man that's 33. It's a good return, and I know Lyle Taylor also scored a good amount of goals last season, but Fletcher knows Celtic and he knows what's at stake this season, and he's also an international striker as well. But for me, the question is, will Fletcher come to Celtic if he's got other options? I don't know what other options he might have available, but he's going to be second, maybe third choice striker at Celtic. So that's a decision that he would need to make. But for Celtic, they need to grab him for free. But Taylor, for me, I don't think that's a good option to go with.
Mark, it seems as if the player himself would be keen as Alan McGregor makes a decent save. I think the free kick's gone in the way of Rangers anyway. I don't think Stephen Fletcher's willingness, in theory, would be the issue. Obviously, if the contract's not right and whatever else, then that could be a problem. But it seems like it's, in theory, a move that he would be open to.
It would be open to, but I think Brian makes a good point. I think if, that's just my personal opinion, if Stephen Fletcher's got other options to sign in England, i.e. a Stoke come in for him, then I think he would stay down south.
Really?
I think so. Listen, Stephen Fletcher had the chance to join Celtic 11 years ago.
Yeah, but he wasn't 33 11 years ago.
He wasn't 33, but it was still a good option, and he knocked it back. I know he would have got offered more money, but it'd be the same, exactly the same situation just now. A Stoke City or whoever else can offer Stephen Fletcher more money than Celtic can with the inflated wages that they pay. And when you're 33, Gordon, I'm sorry, when you're not a diehard Celtic fan who you're coming up to help the cause of getting 10 in a row, which Stephen Fletcher isn't, then I'm afraid it's going to come down to money at the end of the day. And if Stephen Fletcher gets offered more money, I would think he would choose down south to where he's played the majority of his career.
I love it tonight. I really do love tonight because I'm disagreeing with everything he's saying.
Good.
I think Stephen Fletcher will come up a drop of a hat. I know what he's saying about money, but I don't think Stephen Fletcher will be short of a couple of quid.
I think he's doing all right.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he doesn't want more.
No, of course we all want more, Mark. You're a bit greedier than other people, but I just think that Fletcher sees an opportunity to come up, especially what's happening, you know, for the 10 in a row season. I think that he would come up in a drop of a hat.
I think he's just moved back up here as well, and
there you go.
That doesn't mean to say that you know, you can't take a football club elsewhere, but is there not a time, Mark, for these guys when they go down south, they make decent money, But ultimately, at some point, they move home, and if they can try and tie the two in, then
he's moved into a semi-detached in the Olympic Village, remember?
But for what it's worth, by the way, not to spill his private affairs, it's definitely not that.
No,
it's quite a few rungs up the property ladder. Oh, but then anyway, that's
Motherwell.
That's
Motherwell.
That's none of our business.
No, but of course, when you get to that age, you know, some people do have ambitions of coming back up the road. But look, if there's a huge difference in the wage, I don't think it'd be a surprise for Stephen Fletcher to send his family up and travel up and down at this age of his career. It's not uncommon. Look, if the wage that Celtic offer is comparable to others, yes, of course I can see why you would choose a big club like Celtic.
Big chance for Leverkusen. On you go. Just going to say, great defending from Philip Hollander to keep it goalless. But on you go, Brian.
For me, I don't think it's about money. In my opinion, I think he's 33. He'll be wanting as much game time as possible before he does retire. And being second, maybe third choice at Celtic, if a championship side did maybe come in from maybe playing first team football or even coming on as a sub more than he would at Celtic, would suit him. But again, as a free transfer, I would definitely grab him up if we could get him. But for me, I think Celtic are strong at attack. For me, they need to strengthen at the back. Watching the game against Hamilton, Celtic dominated, but defensively, they were still giving me heart palpitations. And I'm only 24, so what's it going to be like against a strong attacking side? No disrespect to Hamilton, but coming up against a strong attacking side, especially in Europe, and they can't even defend properly against Hamilton. It's for me, it's worrying, especially in a season like this, going for 10 in a row. So we need to bring in another right back, and especially another centre back for me.
Right, there's two right backs though, Brian. There's Frimpong and Elhamid. I think that's a position Celtic don't need to fill. I think centre half, yes.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much to Brian. Get those palpitations seen to, by the way. I'm not having that in my conscience. That was Brian in Blackhill. We're going to get travel with Stephen, then we'll get a halftime story from Leverkusen next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Halftime in Leverkusen, by a Leverkusen 0, Rangers 0. Not too many chances to speak of. The best of them clearly going the way of the home side. That danger man, Kai Havertz, on the brink of a multi-million pound move elsewhere. He clipped the top of the bar. He also dragged one wide when it looked easier to score. Other than that though, no real danger for Alan McGregor's goal. And up the other end, Rangers have just missed that final pass on plenty of occasions. The way they're set up, they've won the ball, they've sprung forward at pace. Ryan Kent, Brandon Barker, Alfredo Morelos trying to get in behind. It's just always been that final pass, that final movement that's been missing. But nevertheless, a decent enough showing so far. And it's Bayer Leverkusen 0, Rangers 0. Have we learned anything, Gordon? What did you make of it?
I think Steven Gerrard will be happy with the clean sheet at half time. They've been the better side, obviously, home side, quality side, had the better chances. But it's 0-0. As I said at the top of the show, I think you've got to look to take a bit of confidence. I don't see them, getting a miracle result tonight. And I just think it's bringing a bit of confidence back, positives. And so far, with a clean sheet at half time, they can build on that.
I think they've defended well. You know, we touched on Hollander at the start of the show, and I said I was surprised he played. I think he's done particularly well tonight.
8 months out.
8 months out. I think he can be pleased with his 45 minutes. The only time was when Havertz gets in between him and Barisic for that chance, and he really should put Leverkusen one up. But I think Rangers have done fine. I think in the ball, we were chatting just off mic about how Rangers look suited to this sort of European style of football, how they keep the ball. They look very comfortable. And I think Steven Gerrard will be pleased at half time that they've restricted Leverkusen to just probably that one clear cut chance.
Yeah, as I said, it's all about building on things, Gordon. It's about performances as well. They're competition for places now because they've got a big squad. They get a good result against Aberdeen. A few changes tonight. It's up to the guys that are coming in to try and stake a claim for a place in the league campaign when they play St Mirren on Sunday. So, still a long way to go. Second half, 45 minutes. If they can get out a draw, I think that'll be a good result for them.
Could Rangers properly throw caution to the wind here? 45 minutes. I mean, honestly, you end up losing 3-0. Who cares?
Yeah. Wanting a draw. He's saying if they get out,
he's playing for a draw.
See, if you get a draw, you're out.
I know you're out.
Just why are you playing for a draw?
I says, if they get a draw, I think you can take positives and confidence from
but
that.
I just wonder
if you take a 3-0 drubbing.
Yeah, but you're going for it.
You've just gone for it. You know, I think there's a really not. I mean, Rangers would need to go and win the second half 3-0. That's going to take a bit of a mad turnaround, or Rangers to just really, really go for it and see what happens. Is that?
I think this is
me well, personally. I'd rather come out with a draw.
Ideal for Steven Gerrard there. He's seen the first half off 0-0. I think you're right, Gordon. I think you throw caution to the wind and just say, right, okay, we've got a 0-0 at half time. I'm pleased with the performance. I'm pleased with the way we've defended. Look, we're going to.
Let's go and lose three goals, boys. We'll go on the
flight.
What's
a mark?
Do you know, I've stood here for the last year wondering what happened to Break, and now I know.
Well, they weren't in
half time team talk.
They weren't in a two legged tie in the Europa League with respect. So it is completely different. There is nothing really to be lost here. It's not even as if anyone has any expectations. What is the worst possible outcome? A couple of goal defeat. What does that really do? How damaging could that really be?
I honestly think I know what you're saying about the result.
You
right?
don't. You're playing for a draw
you're
for some.
I,
for
I,
the,
I no. I'm
you're
not playing,
playing
for
some
a
mystery draw.
Draw.
Part the bus.
I'm not saying part the bus.
That's you.
I'm thinking you've got to take a lot out of tonight's game, and I think
do you though.
Yeah, I think you have. Every game's the
hold
same.
Hold on a minute. Have they not done that in 45 minutes? They've shown everybody.
But the game's
that 90
minutes
them.
What are you talking about?
But then at the end of the
but
game
then at the end of the game somebody goes out and it's going to be Rangers.
And Steven Gerrard could well turn around and say, well, do you know what, I can take positives. Because when we had
yeah,
that
a clean sheet for instance would be very good.
Exactly.
That's what you build
but that's
on.
What he's got at the moment. And then he could turn around and say,
but if he just 3-0 he ain't got a clean sheet.
Yes, but he would be doing that in the acknowledgement that the lack of clean sheet possibly happened because they went for it and they threw something
tell,
at it and they really
me,
tried
tell,
to give it
tell
a
me
go.
How much more they're going to go for it when they've got Barker, Morelis and Kent up front.
Stylistically you can still do different things within a game with
like
the same
what?
Personnel.
Like what? What they're not doing just now. Like
play with an actual recognised two up front. Morelos is running about up front himself.
When
I know they've got
when
Barker
Rangers
and Kent.
Ever play with two up top?
But they don't.
There you go then. So
when
are
they ever 3-0 down?
When are they ever 3-0 down?
Why do all of a sudden go, well I tell you what, see second half we're going to shove two up front.
For anyone that's wondering, Gordon Dale will invite you to his 0-0 party that he's hosting at the end of the game. So I'll make sure we get the details sent over. That'll be some achievement. It'll be brilliant to go to that.
Let's go for the draw box in the second half.
01419511025. We are on Twitter as well at ClydeSSB. Let's see what's coming in there. Lots of chat just before the travel there about Stephen Fletcher, Lyle Taylor. What have we got? Another season, another treble says, seriously, I'm beginning to think all these callers are pretending to be Celtic fans. How can anyone seriously even consider going for a guy that's 33 who probably won't get a look in at first team action with no possible resale value? Then it's a waste of a wage.
But you're not looking at resale value here. You're looking at someone that's going to come in and give you cover that you can count on if you need it for a season gone, and one of the most important seasons ever. So you're not looking to bring a Stephen Fletcher in and think in a year's time we can punt him on for a couple of quid and make a profit. That's not the case.
Is that the mould that he would fit, Gordon? There's no such thing as a guarantee when you're signing a player, obviously. But would he be seen, if you're pigeonholing him as that backup striker, that different option, would he be seen as a relatively safe option on that front, in terms of you should know what you're going to get?
Yeah, the only thing I would say is basically, let every other player an injury,
yeah,
for instance,
yeah,
right? So take that out of the equation. Yeah, because you know what you're getting with him, Gordon. This guy's a decent player. He's had a very good career. He's still only 33. He ticks the boxes for the sort of striker that Celtic would need if Edouard wasn't available.
So he would be second choice, you think, before Klamala and Griffiths if he came?
I think... If Celtic were going to play in a way with the 3-5-2, I think he would certainly be second choice to Edward. I think he would fit.
Well, what
in
about
Edward.
4-2-3-1? And Edward's injured. Fletcher goes in.
Put it this way, I don't think he'll be fourth choice. I would probably say, and people might disagree, it's the way you play, Mark. You might want to say, I need some to play up to for Christie, El Yanoussi, Forrest, all these guys' runs. You've got to have somebody that takes the ball in back to goal.
So you what's your answer?
You should know that.
Just
give
an answer. Is he second or third choice?
I would say that I would play him probably second or third.
Depends, how long did that take you?
Depends
what
style I was playing.
Depends
what style I was playing. What?
God, your style is for a 0-0. You wouldn't even play with a striker. Back to the Craig Levine days with you.
There's a striker there. You've got two on that Rangers have never played with.
Anyway, there's a bit of a split, I think,
you
at the moment.
You finished bottom of the league
between Twitter, between Twitter and the phones, because most of the Celtic fans who phoned in pretty happy with Stephen Fletcher, but not quite as much love on a couple of these tweets. Mark says Fletcher or Lyle Taylor for Celtic. Neither. I would go for Lyndon Dykes at Livingston.
Nope.
Jay says, okay. Jay says, sorry, Lyndon, if you're listening.
No.
Jay says Lyle Taylor. I'm so underwhelmed being a season ticket holder and going for guys like this. As each day passes, we seem to be getting linked with a lesser quality of player. Not good enough. It is time for one of these. It would help if the button worked. Big dramatic build up for something. Oh. What's up with my button, producer Dan? Here we go.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. It's so popular every night, but it's always extra popular on a Thursday, and I'll leave you to make up your own mind as to why that might be. If you want to come on here, get more questions right than Gordon and Mark, and win yourself a signed ball, it couldn't be simpler. Pick up the phone, dial 0141 951 1025, and do it now before 7 o'clock.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're just into the second half in Leverkusen. Bayer Leverkusen 0, Rangers 0. What will happen in the second half? Will they hang on for that 0-0?
It's Jenny and Bill with Simple Bath and Kitchen.
We know the world feels a little crazy sometimes, but your home, that should be your safe place.
A beautiful kitchen for your family, a bathroom that feels like your own private retreat.
At Simple Bath & Kitchen, we have a fine-tuned process that makes remodeling something that you can actually enjoy.
Because when everything outside is unpredictable,
your home should be exactly what you need it to be.
Visit us at simplebathandkitchen.com to regain your peace today.
We make it simple for you.
Oh, as Gordon DL wants, or will we throw caution to the wind and try and pull off the unthinkable? We will find out before we go off air tonight, but still plenty of time for you to get in touch on the phones or on Twitter. We've actually got some breaking news coming out of Pittodrie this evening. A second Aberdeen player has tested positive for COVID-19. So you will have heard earlier on, perhaps on Clyde One News or on Twitter, that an Aberdeen player had tested positive for COVID-19. That number now up to 2. So it remains to be seen what impact that will have on Aberdeen going forward this weekend and beyond. Give us your thoughts on that. We'll do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. There's always a buzz about Beat the Pundit on a Thursday night. You just don't know what to expect. It can go one of various ways. Sometimes the guys are actually not as daft as you'd think, but sometimes they're every bit as daft as you would think. And then some. Well, we'll see how they get on tonight. Derek is in East Kilbride. How's it going, Derek?
I'm good, thank you. Yourself?
Not too bad at all. You're a Rangers fan, Derek, so we won't keep you too long. Did you catch the first half? What did you make of it?
No, I was just finished work. I was listening to it.
Possibly,
but here's hoping for the second half.
Here's hoping. What I meant there obviously was we won't keep you long so you can get back to the game. Because you know in this part of the world people go, I'll listen to that. Says he's a Rangers fan, so they're not going to keep him on very long. That's not what I meant.
We'll keep him on a minute.
So he could watch the game. Let's toss the coin, Derek, and find out who you're up against. Heads, it is Mark. Tails, it's Gordon. And it's heads, it's Mark Wilson. You ever played before, Derek?
Yes, and I've played Mark Greedy and I've played Mark Wilson before. Mark beat me in a double tiebreak.
Mark Wilson did?
Double tiebreak?
Yes, he did. Double tiebreak last year.
Wow, I don't think I can't have had many of them. That must be the only one.
What's a double tiebreak? What's happened there?
Means well, see, when you get a tiebreak and then you double it, you need to do it again. And do a different one.
Come on, Dico. You're up against, no second chance, Derek.
I like how he's got the red t-shirt to match his face tonight as well, because his face always goes red on Beat the Pundit.
I know, it's a cheapo look.
That was my Leverkusen colours.
It's a cheapo.
Is that a cheapo?
That's a cheapo. I don't know where it's at, actually.
Listen, there's Ralph Lauren over there in the corner.
He's got the old night t-shirt Nicole. With the joggies pulled right up.
He's got the PE teacher look again. He loves the PE teacher look. Right, anyway, I'm going to give Mark some Clyde too, just so that he can't hear Derek's attempted answers. Derek, 30 seconds on the clock, up against Mark, and you can pass. That's all you need to know. You ready?
Yep.
Good man. Your time starts now. From which club did Rangers sign Andrei Kanchelskis?
ever.
Who was the club captain immediately, or Celtic captain immediately before Scott Brown?
Pass.
In what year did Brazil last win the World Cup?
1990.
Which Scottish side are nicknamed the Staggies?
Pass.
What squad number does Motherwell's Chris Long wear?
3.
Who did Jim Duffy manage in 2015?
Martin.
Okay. For anyone listening at home, you maybe were struggling to hear Derek. He was breaking up an awful lot there. I could hear him. Rangers have just gone a goal down, so it was an uphill battle to begin with, and that task has become verging on impossible. Leverkusen 1, Rangers 0, ball over the top, and the finish dispatched beyond Alan McGregor. So we'll tell you a bit more about that once we finish Beat the Pundit. Mark, let's bring you back. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Right, I'm just explaining to the listeners at home, Derek's line was breaking up.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Couldn't really hear him, so I just gave him all the correct answers. I think he got 10.
Shut up.
I think he got 10 out of 10. No, I could hear him. So for anyone who's in doubt at home, I could hear him. I could hear what he had to say. Just right, Mark. Same set of questions to you. Ready?
Okay.
From which club did Rangers sign Andrei Kanchelskis?
Fiorentina.
Who was the Celtic captain immediately before Scott Brown?
Steve McManus.
In what year did Brazil last win the World Cup?
2002.
Which Scottish side are nicknamed the Staggies?
Ross County.
What squad number does Motherwell's Chris Long wear?
99.
Who did Jim Duffy manage in 2015?
Partick Thistle.
What nationality is Man United's Bruno Fernandes?
Of Portuguese.
He's had a shocker.
What do you think, Derek?
I think he's beat me.
Yeah,
Derek,
I
think he's beat me.
Derek was
1-0.
Derek wasn't his usual confident self. If he managed to get to the tiebreaker last time, he must be good. The questions maybe were a bit more difficult tonight. Let's find out. From which club did Rangers sign Andrei Kanchelskis? You were laughing at this, weren't you? Fiorentina. I heard you laughing at him.
Was that right?
That's right.
Oh, Dad! How'd you like that? That's knowledge. Oh. That is knowledge.
You were laughing at him. I heard you laugh at him when he said that.
I was trying to put him off.
1-0 to Mark Wilson. Who was the Celtic captain immediately before Scott Brown? Stephen McManus.
Oh, that's 2-2.
2-0 to Mark Wilson. In what year did Brazil last win the World Cup? It was 2002.
Oh, 3-0. I'm on a roll.
To Mark. Look at his face. He's gutted. He's absolutely heartbroken that you're doing well. 3-0. At which Scottish side are nicknamed the Staggies? It's Ross County. 4-0.
Derek's line must have been bad.
Deep went away for a coffee.
What squad number does Motherwell's Chris Long wear? It is 99.
Oh my goodness.
He's on fire. I've never seen the likes.
Sensational stuff.
5-0 to Mark Wilson. Who did Jim Duffy manage in 2015? We got you on the board, Derek. It was Morton. Uh-huh. And Mark Wilson got
one.
Exactly. Mark went Thistle. No idea why. That was a hopeless answer. What nationalities? Bruno Fernandes, Portuguese. 6 to Mark Wilson and 1 to Derek and East Kilbride. Derek.
Well done, Mark. Well
thanks.
Done, mate.
Thanks, Derek. Thank you. Unfortunate about your line there. Uh-huh. Might have got me if you were clearer.
don't pay your phone bill.
Memory blank.
Memory blank, that's it. It's harder than the pressure's on. Derek and East Kilbride, thank you. You have ruined Gordon DL's night. What a performance that is. Do you know the thing is? I don't think you're capable of the level that he just showed there.
I'm very impressed with that because I never thought he was going to get 6.
No, well, there you go.
I only get 4.
You're wrong in that as well.
I get 4. The Brazil.
Alex Ray lost with 6 on Monday night.
Did he?
Mm-hmm.
Did you just guess the Brazil one?
No,
I was going 1974 because they won it then.
Listen, we all know your quiz answers for the quiz.
Did Germany won it then?
They won it in 70. They didn't win it in 74.
What are you?
It's another wrong answer. He's made up his own question and got it wrong.
You can never count that result. Are you sure he didn't win it in 74?
West Germany did.
Unlucky. Okay. Me and Derek's got a tiebreaker.
Brilliant. Making up your own question.
How can you not remember 2002 Japan and Korea? They beat Germany in the final. Remember Ronaldo had the haircut where the rest was shaved, but he just left the wee patch.
Was that 2002?
The wee triangle.
I think in honour of that tournament, we should give Daz that hairdo.
Yeah, oh, that'd be nice.
Do you remember that? When was it just for the final or was it for the full tournament?
I think it might have just been for the final.
And he shaved.
Did he beat in the final?
Germany.
France.
Germany. I think Ronaldo got. Did he get two in the final?
Got two. Remember Oliver, it was at Cannes, spilled it, and they nipped in and scored.
I forget that, it's the haircut. So it was shaved apart from just the. Just the fringe.
Oh, Gordon, I'm a bit old for that.
And just a sort of patch. I think we should.
I'm doing okay with the grey.
I think you could
now.
Pull it off.
I'm quite happy with my success rate.
I think you could pull it off.
I'm delighted I wasn't to beat the pundit tonight. I think me and Deco would still be going at tiebreaker.
Ah, oh, well, I'm impressed with myself.
Not often
I impress myself, but tonight, yep.
Right, we've got some breaking news. We've got a double dose of breaking news, and you two are going to need to tone down your laughter, because there's obviously, you know, a serious element to this one. A second Aberdeen player has tested positive for coronavirus. So following on from the news earlier that one Aberdeen player had tested positive for coronavirus, it's now two. And that clearly sounds like it's heading in a bit more of a concerning direction. I throw this caveat in every night because I don't want people to misunderstand, you know, if they haven't heard the previous night's show. I always feel it's worth saying, we know that there is far more important things at the moment than football, but obviously being a football show, we're kind of focusing on the football aspect of it. And already before this breaking news, the trip to St Johnstone was put into doubt after that earlier positive test result. There was a statement earlier from Aberdeen saying, we had a positive test, we're awaiting further guidance from the Scottish Government and Joint Response Group. Now, the player had been ordered to self-isolate after contracting the virus, and the rest of Derek McInnes' squad were stood down from training today. So it is having that knock-on impact already. You may remember that the First Minister took the decision to impose new lockdown measures on the city of Aberdeen. Now, this is the cluster linked to a number of bars in the area, and reports have claimed that several members of Derek McInnes' squad were spotted in the city centre following Saturday's defeat to Rangers. Now that's, I think, unconfirmed at the moment, but that's the suggestion. Now the Aberdeen squad were operating in that biosecure bubble, if you like, at the Cormac Park training base, getting tested twice a week. So they were expected to be able to make the trip to St Johnstone this weekend on the basis that they're tested. That was before the news though of the first positive test, and we're now up to two. It's a concern whatever way you look at it.
Yeah, you'd probably be surprised if it stays at two. Aberdeen will hope that will be the case, but we know how quickly this spreads. And I've got to be honest, Gordon, I don't think it's a surprise that we're starting to get, you know, wee glimpses of this in football clubs. It was St Mirren last week, and I know there was six false tests, but there was one positive. Now it's Aberdeen. The amount of numbers the Premiership teams carry with them in terms of staff, players, you know, now reserve teams are going back, it's huge. And obviously the chances of somebody catching it and passing it on heighten. It'll be again interesting to see what the decision will be in that fixture, because it's pretty unstable. Now when you've got two players in the space of 24 hours, you think that would go up, and you wouldn't be surprised to see that game being called off at the weekend now.
Yeah, Gordon, I mean, it goes without saying, Aberdeen, like all the clubs, have put in a tremendous effort to do all the right things in the protocols at the training ground and keep players training in a safe environment and all the right procedures in place. The real concern, and I don't want to prejudge this too much, I don't want to cast aspersions before we know for sure, but if this is because of recklessness away from the training ground or away from football, then that's a huge issue.
I think Aberdeen's a football club. If that's the case, Gordon, will feel a bit let down with their players. Now, I know everybody's got to get a life and get back to trying living, but they're doing everything they can. They're professional footballers. They know the situation. They're getting tested twice a week. And then all of a sudden, after a game on Saturday, whether they're in that pub that was the problem, it just shows you it's a warning sign for everyone, Gordon. You rightly said, there's more important things out there in football. It's a warning sign to everyone. And it'll be interesting to see how it goes. It's not just the fact that will the game get called off? Aberdeen can't even train today. Will they be able to train tomorrow?
The preparation is gone already.
Gone, yeah.
You know, and Mark, again, it's very difficult because we're still a bit light on detail, and Aberdeen have still to come out. You know, again, I'm sure they're locked in discussions with the Scottish Government and health services and all the rest of it at the moment. But bear in mind, you know, football has restarted in other countries. Players are getting tested all the time. So if you have a player who tests positive, the whole team doesn't need to isolate or anything like that, because, you know, the rest of them are being tested and games can still go ahead. We've seen it in other parts. The problem is going to be that if it's found that, you know, sort of return to training protocols, I think they call it, if they find out that they've been flaunted or deliberately flaunted, then there has to be an underlining of the message that it's not one rule for footballers and another rule for everyone else, and that's where the problem's going to come in.
And that'll take, you know, you need to dig a fair bit into that. Like, how can you prove that a footballer's contracted that, albeit at the pub that this or whatever they were, where this outbreak's taking place?
Well, the track and trace system that's in place for everyone is going to have to be examined.
Yeah, that's so it's going to take a lot of digging. I mean, who's to say that these guys didn't get
it?
It
may not take that much.
Well, who's to say they didn't get it at a supermarket or something like that? Because they were in that area, yeah, track and trace, and we all hope it works for our sake. But who's to say was a player that was in there? You know,
it's very difficult. We're now straying well, and some people would say we don't have any area of expertise, but we're straying well beyond that. But that is the point of the track and trace, is to establish these things. So that's how you would prove it. But what's worth considering as well, Gordon, is we've got this quite congested fixture list as well. Aberdeen are due to play away at St Johnstone on Saturday, then due to play at home to Hamilton on Wednesday, and then, you know, again next Saturday away to Celtic. So there's not a lot of room left for cancellations.
That's the biggest problem, Gordon, and I'm sure it's a massive concern, not just to Scottish football, to Aberdeen as well. Just looking at the fixtures coming up, preparation for the manager is a worrying time, and it'll be interesting to see what the decision's going to be. Probably make one tomorrow on the game, but I just, you know, I keep saying it, it's a warning sign for everyone.
It will not be the last of your clubs to get it. Now, if you think that this is just the Premiership teams returning, you've got to bear in mind that Championship and League 1 and League 2 are returning in the coming months. And those guys, a lot of those guys have part-time jobs, you know, socialise in different circles. It won't be the last club who have an outbreak.
Well, we hope it is. Do you know what I love about this show as well? Jerry's listening very closely. He's keeping me right on my toes. Apparently, I must have said that restrictions or something had been flouted and not flaunted, and he's put me right, and I love that, because that's because these things are going to happen. I mean, you're two.
I hope he's not going to put us two right. We'll be here all night,
because staring at you two can be quite off-putting, and I am prone to a slip of the tongue. So I'm delighted Jerry's here to keep us right. In Leverkusen, it's 1-0 to the home side. And Gordon, you know, it was going to take something nearing a footballing miracle. So I think we're now beyond that. It's 4-1 with 62 minutes gone, beyond Rangers now.
Yeah, and Rangers have made a substitution. Hadji's come on for Barker, just to try and get on the ball and keep the ball. It was, for Rangers' point of view, Gordon, defensively, I thought it was a poor goal. I thought Tavernier was very poor at it. Get caught. And the ball just played over the top, and it was a good finish. And it was already a mountain to climb. You can forget it now. It's just about, once again, taking the positives. But my 0-0's gone.
Did you give the listeners an update of that substitution? I tuned out.
Yeah, had you, for Barker.
Great, I knew you would. Thank you very much. 01419511025. We've got a good full time teaser coming up for the guys. You're going to have to get your thinking cap on, particularly you, Mark Wilson. Pat is going to be next up in Govan Hill. He's got thoughts on Stephen Fletcher, and he's got a suggestion of another player in our Premiership that he thinks Celtic should sign. Find out who it is next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson here in Leverkusen. It's 1-0 to the hosts, 4-1 on aggregate. Jordan Jones and Scott Arfield have just come on for Stephen Gerrard's side, as they look to finish this game strongly at least, or maybe get some important minutes into the legs of guys that haven't played a lot. Certainly Jordan Jones, we don't see too much of him, Gordon.
Yeah, a bit surprised when I seen him coming on there, Gordon. You're right, we've not seen a lot of him. He's got a lot to prove to figure in this Rangers side, because I think that, you know, the strongest 11, he's nowhere near it.
His days of proving things are surely over. I mean, he's had a long time. I know he's been injured, but he's been around the club for long enough now. If Stephen Gerrard thought he was worthy a starting place, he would have been in contention, maybe at the weekend, maybe even tonight. I know he's come on tonight, but I don't think it'll be long before you see him move on.
I do want to get to Pat in Govan Hill because he's been hanging on for quite some time, but I need to get the teaser up and running. Thank you to Dylan for sending it in. Fulltime@Clyde1.com. There's a bit of context here. Apart from the physio's table, where did Mark Wilson spend most of his time at Celtic?
At Celtic? On the subs bench?
Yes, I knew you would say that. I just teed you up and I knew you would say that. So the question...
This must have been working than that at goal today.
It was brilliant, wasn't it?
When I wasn't invited.
It was... The question centres around that. He says, during Mark Wilson's six full seasons at Celtic, 2006-07 to 11-12, seven men made more than 12 sub-appearances in a single season. Can you name them? So basically we're looking for Celtic super subs. During Mark Wilson's six full seasons at Celtic, 2006 to 2012, seven men made more than 12 sub appearances in a single season. That is some going off the bench. Can you name them?
There must be a centre forward in there,
it's
Mark.
It's always got to be a centre forward, isn't
it? And you were number 12 as well, just still tying together.
Who played up from your time?
Let's see. Killian Sheridan won?
No.
Tony Watt, was he there?
No.
When you?
So to come on 12 more than 12 times in a season's quite,
who would
quite good
on, who would be the old time waster that you'd throw on?
Yeah, a winger, a centre forward.
Yeah, it's quite difficult that.
Well, you played
Derek Riordan?
No.
Oh no.
Barry Robson.
Think right, take yourself back to sitting in the bench at Celtic Park. Look to your left, look to your right. Who's alongside you?
Who are you chatting to? Who are you saying? Do you know one day I'm
you're going on before me?
He always gets on. He always gets on. He's hopeless. That old show.
Quick, throw some names in because Pat has been waiting for ages. Quick.
Maloney.
No. Gordon.
McGeady.
No.
Snow.
Yes.
Big Snow.
Evander Snow.
Aye, he was a classic.
14 sub appearances in the 2007-08 season. Anyway, Pat is in Govan Hill. I've given you the big build up. Pat, what have you got for us?
Hello lads. Hi. Before I get to my point, Gordon Dell, it's payback time for you.
What have I done, Pat?
No, it's not you, it's other Gordon. You're a great cyclist, good golfer, early morning riser.
Thank you, Pat.
You've got a bad tip.
Thank you, Pat.
I don't know if you're listening to last night's show.
No.
Young Gordon there can hardly get up for a quiz in the morning at 8:15 with George Bowie.
That is true. I did say that. I did let that slip.
Payback time, Gordon.
Ridiculous, Pat.
Ridiculous.
It is true.
A talented cyclist of you.
He's not talented. Listen, Pat, anyway. Since when did being able to go a bike become a massive talent to write home about?
Wait a minute, it's not a mobility bike, it's a
race bike, Pat.
I can go a bike as well, I just choose not to get dressed up in the lycra like him.
But you wait till roads are quiet after 9 o'clock.
That is true. If you see the speed of him in his bike, Pat, honestly, it's not great.
My point is,
come on, Pat.
The Celtic striker situation. I totally agree with you. This is Gordon night last week. He said four strikers you need for the full season, especially this season. We don't need to break the bank until the big man leaves. Hope it's next season. I would go for Fletcher. There's a difference up front. And we can't rely on Lee Griffiths. Last season was out most of the season. Pre-season was a nightmare. I would go for Martin Boyle. I have speedy character, scores goals in the Premier League. Not so much Europe, but to win the league. Without a doubt, he played under Neil Lennon at Hibs. It wouldn't cost that much. And he'd do well in the Premier League.
Pat, is this on the back of the fact he scored a couple of goals at the weekend?
No. I thought that. Even last season, the end of last season, was on fire. He's got speed like Griffiths and he can score goals in the Premier. No, I'm not talking about Europe. I'm talking about in the league or cup games. And he wouldn't cost much.
I don't think it's a bad shout, Pat. I think he's somebody that Neil Lennon likes. I think wingers with that sort of speed are always welcomed at Celtic.
I mean, he's extremely quick, isn't he?
I mean, he's exceptionally quick.
Yeah.
I've played against him a couple of times early in his career. And, I mean, exceptional pace he had.
He didn't retire you, did he?
By the way, just about. It was at that stage I thought this is getting too much chasing guys like this. He's certainly tidied up a lot of his game since then. A young winger who was raw in just pace, I think he's got better in terms of his finishing, his positional play, and I actually think Neil Lennon helped him out in that. So I don't think it would be that much a shock if you've seen it happening. He's a big player for Hibs. I think it would take a few quid.
Are you bringing him in for cover for Forrest, or are you bringing him in to play as a centre forward role?
No, it'd be a cover in the wide area.
For Forest. Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah, but I don't know if Pat was thinking as a...
Well, Pat mentioned Stephen Fletcher as well. Well, Pat's in the
centre forward.
The pro Stephen Fletcher camp.
Yeah, I think it's well documented. People have been saying that, you know, Celtic look like they need someone out there to give Forrest a bit of cover. I think Boyle could provide that. But I do think that Fletcher coming in, if Fletcher's the best of the options, I don't think he would let Celtic down. I think he's got the qualities to get in there for a season at least.
Pat, what about Stephen Fletcher? What is it about Stephen Fletcher that makes you quite happy that that could be a potential signing? It's been a bit of a split on the phones and on Twitter tonight. Give us the positive case.
The 10-0 thing, short term, a year, or extension after 1 year if possible. But it's Lee Griffiths that's worrying me. We need a similar sort of player as Lee Griffiths in case things don't work out. You know, that sort of player. By Fletcher and another to be in the safe side, if you know what I mean.
Well, I think, Pat, that I think Lee Griffiths has learned his lesson. I watched him against Hibs when he came on 30 minutes. I know it was only 30 minutes. Looked very sharp. It looked very good indeed. I think it's just a case of getting him back. Neil Lennon's had a go at him, told him that, you know, you've got to step up to the mark, especially in a season as important as this. And if you can get a sharp Lee Griffiths on the pitch, the one thing he'll guarantee is goals.
Got to agree with that. But Lee Griffiths, I don't think anybody would ever doubt his ability or question his ability. I think he's a big favourite with the Celtic fans, and they're desperate to see him back out there. But I think he's got to realise himself that this is probably last chance saloon. You know, he's been through some hard times off the pitch, and Neil Lennon gave him every chance to get back, which he did, and I think he made Celtic better at the tail end of last season. But to come back and not meet the fitness requirements, I know that would have, you know, annoyed Neil and the coaching team at Celtic, because they've got such high standards and expectations in that department. So he's got to keep himself right for his last chance at Celtic, in my opinion.
Pat, the other name being linked with Celtic this afternoon is Lyle Taylor. He used to play for Partick Thistle and Falkirk. He's been at Charlton. He's now a free agent. Is that one that you would be in favour of?
No, that's a no-go for me, no.
Not having it?
No. And before I go, Gordon, wake him up tomorrow morning, you're road out.
I'll get by his house and ring the bell.
Oh, I bag a door.
No, don't do that, honestly. In fact, I'm up early tomorrow. I'm making an effort tomorrow.
Good.
I didn't think it was that late. I just said that on occasion I sometimes struggle to hear the 5k minute with George and Cassie live, and I quite like the fact that they post the picture on Instagram and I can wake up in the morning, have a wee look at the questions, and pretend that I would easily have won the $5,000.
Yeah.
If only I had been on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a young man, you should be up early.
Anyway, thank you very much to Pat and Govan Hill.
By
the way, I don't actually even lie in that much. This has grown arms and legs. Anyway, let's go back to Twitter and find out what's been said there. We are on the phones as well, 01419511025. Rangers, a goal down in Leverkusen. What we did miss while Pat was on the phone is they almost equalised, Gordon. A corner to the back post. Conor Goldson's header was going in until it was cleared off the line.
Yeah, good opportunity, good header. Just unlucky that the defender went back onto Lane Gordon and cleared it off. You know, they brought on a few substitutions, try to get some minutes in the legs for some of the players. But obviously the tie is well and truly over. And as we see, I just think that once again, question marks about the Rangers captain who's defending. It's not the greatest. He's terrific going forward, but his defending's sometimes questionable.
What could he have done differently, Mark?
Defending?
Yeah, just followed the man. I think quite often Tavernier gives up too much and hopes a centre-half will pick that up. And when you're not sure that a centre-half's going to pick up that diagonal run, you need to go all the way. Pretty similar to Barisic in the first half. When Havertz had that chance, he didn't go with him either. And you've got to be sure your centre half's picking him up. Tavernier kind of just eased off. If you give these guys a yard to get across you, we've seen twice, once in the first half and now in the second half, these guys' first touches are class. Puts it into their path, and you quite often find yourself behind.
Couple of changes for Rangers now. Greg Stewart coming on, and I think it's Nathan Patterson, is it? Is that the other one who's coming on for Rangers? Just trying to look from a distance. I think it will be. Yeah, James Tavernier going off. So Nathan Patterson on at right back. Alfredo Morelos also off. You just throw in that token question. It will. Is that his last game for Rangers? Alfredo Morelos. It might be.
May well be. I mean, not read too much into it. He did just walk straight off. Gerrard, you know, high five, and who was it? Tavernier came off. Nothing for Morelos.
That's nothing. He just doesn't like coming off. That's fine. That's understandable.
I told you last week the Rangers were in the market for a striker.
Yeah, he did actually. Yeah, he did that.
I'm going to put my name.
Crystal ball. It.
Yeah. Water is wet. In other news.
Yeah. I'm going to put it right out there today and say tonight and say that I think Morelos will start against St Mirren with the two new ones on the bench.
Okay,
you think so? Hold on a minute. Why would you be surprised at him starting the night?
Watch your space.
Yeah, he's going to start in the league on Saturday when there's two new strikers at home.
Sunday, yeah.
I'm not saying that
I wouldn't have started him. If his transfer relied on the money for a new striker's coming in, I would have probably wrapped him up in cotton wool. That's all I'm saying. Right, but Steven Gerrard's played him tonight, so it shows you he's no problems whatsoever playing the lad. So on Sunday, when I'm in here with you, Mark, and the apologies is coming out your mouth, you will see Morelos will start and the two lads will be on the bench.
Okay. Was it another relatively low key night for him, Mark? Now Rangers didn't have as much of the ball as they would domestically, and if you go back to the weekend, he was part of it was that he was asked to do a slightly different job and drop deeper. What about tonight?
Yeah, much the same, if I'm honest. You know, didn't really look lively, but could you blame him? He's playing that role himself up front. He's never going to run the channels for you. So if you don't get the ball at his feet or you don't get him service in the box, he is going to become redundant. And tonight for 70, 75
redundant.
Minutes.
I like that.
I just think he's a lad that now needs a change. I think he knows that his time at Ibrox is at Rangers is coming to an end, and I think he needs a change, Gordon. Just everybody talks about body language, but everybody's different. You're not wanting to see people being happy getting sugged, but just walking off there, I think the boy needs a change for me. I think he's a good player, he's a goal scorer, but I think it's just the end of the road for him.
If you can't win the tie and you can't win the game, is it about trying to take these smaller positives? For instance, getting Philip Hollander back playing football, giving guys like Brandon Barker time, who hasn't played a lot of football recently, and along a similar line, young Nathan Patterson coming on at this level up against a very handy European outfit. Surely that will be good for his development. I know it's just a short period of time towards the end of the game, but like I say, if you're looking for small positives.
Yeah, well, rumours are the boy Patterson's a really good player, a standout in the youth setup, and these boys have to make a step up sometime to make an appearance in a European game will obviously do him the world of good, albeit only for 12 minutes. But he's one that Steven Gerrard seems to like, and Rangers fans probably can expect to see him a wee bit more throughout the season. I'm just wondering if the Rangers fans would be, I know the game's gone now, but what we were touching on at half time, would they have wanted Steven Gerrard to be a wee bit more gung-ho about things and have a real go?
It was always a huge ask, I suppose, wasn't it? I mean, name cannot be blank is on Twitter. He says, that was a good finish. This Leverkusen side have been excellent. The best I've seen at Ibrox in three seasons. Didn't fancy our chances before kickoff. We've looked slow and ponderous on the ball. The priority is stopping 9.8 in a row, though. So he's got the wee dig in there as well about the season end. We just don't have time for that argument right now, to be quite frank. It's 20-8 on a Thursday night. These two have got some work to do on the teaser.
Must be one.
Just let me remind you of the question. It's during Mark Wilson's six full seasons at Celtic from 06-07 to 11-12. Seven men have made more than 12 sub appearances in a single season. Can you name them? You've got Evander Snow.
Paddy McCourt must be one.
Yeah, he made 16 sub appearances in the 2011-12 season.
Okay. Donati?
No, we'll leave it there. Let's speak to Kenny in Rutherglen. Hi, Kenny.
Hi there. It was just a question for Mark. Mark, did you ever see anybody in the lower divisions that you think, given the right chance, could maybe cut the mustard at Celtic or possibly Rangers?
Well, the one he's not in the lower divisions now was Shankland. If I'm honest, I don't think that's any surprise, Kenny, to anybody. I think if you can convert the amount of chances he's receiving, albeit at the top end of the Championship for Ayr and then Dundee United, a striker still has to, you know, put the ball in the back of the net. And if you've shown he can do that consistently over 3 and 4 seasons, then I think why not? If you're surrounding him with better players who's supplying him all the time, I think he could easily do a job.
Gordon, there's always some good stories about guys who come up to the Premiership. Kudir Issa, the player from Queen's Park, who's gone to Livingston this season. So there are a few gems, certainly, but is going to Celtic and Rangers from the lower leagues, is that where the jump then becomes massive?
It's another massive jump, Gordon. A lot of people have tried and failed miserably. I know what Mark's saying. Shanklin, I think, is a very good goal scorer. It'll be interesting to see how he does this season in the top flight. That's where he'll be judged. But I think if you're putting it down to, and it's only a matter of opinions, if you're putting it down to this season, and that's what Celtic Rangers are concentrating on, I would much rather take my chances with someone like Fletcher.
Yeah, I don't think Kenny was necessarily suggesting.
No, I know what you're saying, but he's just asking Mark about. Yeah,
Kenny, were you just being curious, or is there anyone in your mind that you've seen?
No, just as long as the boy is just in the morning, there, Rabina Maher, who's come up for Ann and then been through the ranks, he's been up to Elgin and now he's signed the Morton. And it's just a young boy, he's just a student, but obviously part time now that he's gone full time. Boys like that who have not been in the full time system, who are probably just, he's had more game time than some of the, probably most of the Celtic youth team. And so it was just curious that as Mark's seen him in the second division, that thinking, as I say, under the right circumstances, should
not be
making a go at it.
I mean, Mark, there have been some great stories over the years, even from likes of junior football. Darian McKinnon played a lot of Premiership games, having come from, I think it was junior football. Chris Erskine, Chris Doolan, you know, signed from junior. Just for talking sake then, whether they can make the jump to Celtic or Rangers or not is a big ask. So who was the best player in League 2 last season?
For me it was the boy that signed for Livingston. I thought he was outstanding as a striker in terms of his movement. He came through the juniors, remember, the year before. Outstanding player, you know. But you're looking at the guys for Cove. Look, there's no doubt about it, Fraser Fivey was head and shoulders all round player, I'm talking about, above anybody. But he's a Premier League player, a Championship player, so you could see that. Look, I've no doubt there will be young players who's probably not got the right break, and if they were surrounded by better players and better coaches and a good environment, they would thrive. But it's hard to go and then just pick somebody out and say go and star for that first team. And also, have you done that, your own youth system would be getting questioned for not having players good enough in there at the time.
Kenny, that's a really good question. Maybe that's one we can delve in a bit deeper. You know, once the lower leagues come back, Kenny, why don't you give us a call back and we can get everyone involved and try and find the best players down at that level. That makes sense.
Okay, no problem.
Good man. That was Kenny in Rutherglen. I'm sure we could get some tweets in about that, some calls. It's a bit late in the day to be doing it tonight, but I'm sure we could come up with something. Who are the guys down in the lower leagues who've got the best chance of stepping up in the future? Right, any more on the teaser? You've got Evander Snow, Paddy McCourt. It's still 1-0 to Leverkusen. No,
I'm going to go down a different route here, that maybe Celtic have got players that have been there for years, like McGregor, Forrest, Mikey Johnson.
No. Mikey Johnson.
I don't know how long.
Mikey Johnson was about six when Mark Wilson played.
Well, he could have been an upcoming.
Will Flood.
No.
Barry Robson.
No.
Mark Crosas.
No.
Chris Killen.
Yes. What a shoot.
That's who I was thinking of.
I think he's possibly set some sort of record here, and I'm basing that on nothing. Season 07-08, 22 times he came off the bench.
Have they?
That's
some appearance money.
He's racked up. That's some appearance
and one bonus. Right, Killen, Snow and McCourt down. We've got another four to get. And breaking news tonight, Hearts and Partick Thistle have received their punishment by the Scottish FA for raising the petition at the Court of Session against the SPFL. I'll tell you what that punishment is next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. There's a couple of minutes left in Germany. Leverkusen 1, Rangers 0. Gordon, Rangers have given a decent enough account of themselves, but not enough to win the game, and then certainly not enough to to win the tie. It's been a tough evening.
Yeah, it has been a tough evening. It's been a good exercise for them, Gordon, because they're playing against top quality. Usually, over the last few games, Rangers have dominated the ball. The biggest percentage tonight, they've been chasing the ball. They'll be disappointed with the goal they lost. But as I say, the manager will look at it, got more minutes into players, one or two need the game. So it'll be interesting to see what his lineup is on Saturday. 1-0, it was always going to be a big ask. 1-0 away from home to a side of that quality, I don't think that's a real bad result.
Hearts and Partick Thistle have been fined £2,500 each by the Scottish FA. This is for raising their petition at the Court of Session against the SPFL without first seeking approval of the Scottish FA and going through arbitration. So you may remember that the notice of complaint was issued a few weeks ago, much to the anger and dismay of Hearts and Partick Thistle. And today they have finally been punished £2,500 each.
Surely we can drop all this. Surely we can drop that. Surely we could have avoided it. I know the rules are set in place, but with the circumstances surrounding this.
But is that not, in a nutshell though, is that not kind of what we've done? Because it's a pretty small fine, right?
It's
£2,500 each. But like you said, put it this way, I've got visions of you coming out of here, going down Kilbowie Road onto Dumbarton Road to drive home from Clydebank, and you're doing 38 miles an hour, and you get pulled over, and you say, oh, officer, can we not just avoid all of this? I mean, in these times, can we not just avoid it? There is an element of the quite blatantly broke the rules or the articles of association. The timing of the notice of complaint, that was a legitimate concern. Lots of people felt the timing was wrong, but this is, it's the least surprising outcome that they got.
No, I know
some
they would
sort
have been
punishment.
Slapped in the wrist, but I mean, to hit them with some sort of money, whether it's £2,500 or £20,000, I think how some people have perceived how they've been treated, and Thistle in particular, unfairly, it could have just been, you've lost, let's move on. But
Gordon,
rules are rules,
I get that,
Gordon.
Was there any and there's actually a good Twitter debate, because you can see both sides of it, and I'll actually just read out the two exchanges, which kind of cover it from both sides. James Baird says, 2,500 for what? Standing up for what's right? Suppose it could have been worse. And Conroy has come back and says, standing up isn't the issue. No club in Europe is allowed to take their governing body to the court of law without going through the arbitration process. It's the same in every league. Hearts and Thistle knew this, but they did what they had to do.
But I would have thought no country can relegate teams when they've got a game in hand. You know what I mean? So it's exceptional circumstances here.
It's not the end of the world, Mark. It's just basically tick the box. It's £2,500. There are arguments on both sides. It's a slap in the wrist. So I think it's now finished. Move on with it. And then look forward, hopefully, to the weekend. And I was actually hoping for a puncture there, Gordon. He says pulled over speed.
I don't think it's quite the end of it, because we are still going to find out if and what Hearts and Partick Thistle have to pay with regards to legal costs for Dundee United and Cove and Raith. I think that's still to be squared up. So we'll find out. Gordon, full time in Leverkusen. I'm going to ask you in the space of 60 seconds to sum up the game, sum up the tie, and sum up Rangers' European campaign.
Yeah, very good campaign for Steven Gerrard, but it had to end tonight. And I think everyone really knew that was the case after the first leg, the 3-1 Leverkusen. They were absolutely brilliant. Tonight, I thought Rangers put up a good enough show, but they're up against a quality side with just too much for them. Going away from there, Germany, 1-0 defeat. I don't think he'll be too disappointed with that. Can concentrate on Sunday. It's all about the league. He's got a lot of minutes into a lot of players. So it's been a good exercise, Gordon, because I don't even think a Rangers fan would think they could go over there and turn that round. So it's been a good European campaign. It's over now. Concentration on the league Sunday.
To go from the first qualifying round, Mark, to this stage, and by the way, the group wasn't easy with Feyenoord, Porto and Young Boys. Eventually, when all the madness has died down, Steven Gerrard will be immensely proud of the campaign. Why not?
I don't think you can take anything away from Steven Gerrard and Rangers. I think it's been a very good campaign. You know, some big scalps in there, some big nights back at Ibrox, you know, and some very good performances. And I don't think there's any shame in going out to Bayer Leverkusen, a top quality side, who, you know, if they play at the top of their game, could go all the way in this.
And Rangers have actually just tweeted, just as a reminder, this campaign, this European campaign, started 395 days ago when they played St Joseph's in Gibraltar. So it's been a long old road, and it ends tonight, but we'll look back on it in a bit more detail tomorrow. Let's speak to Sean in Kilmarnock. What's on your mind tonight, Sean?
Hi Gordon and hi Mark, how you doing, pal?
Yeah, all good, Sean, all good.
How you doing? It was actually regarding an earlier topic, the potential signing of Stephen Fletcher. Stephen Fletcher and Lyle Taylor, mm-hmm. but Stephen Fletcher's the one that really kind of ups me to a certain point. I mean, Stephen Fletcher's a decent player, in and out the international fold over his career, but he's a good striker, but he's never been a prolific striker. I just think for Celtic to be linked with a 33-year-old, the position that we're in just now, I just find it very underwhelming.
So the only thing I'll say about that, Sean, is you look at, for instance, Rangers bringing Defoe up at 37 or something.
Yep.
And look at the impact that he had, scoring goals and everything. Fletcher, I'm not saying that Fletcher's the right fit for Celtic. It's his name that's been brought up tonight. I'm giving you my opinion about him.
Yep.
I think for a season, if that's the case and it's narrowed down to, like, say, a Fletcher or a Taylor, then I would certainly go for Fletcher.
Yep.
Because I think he'd be a better fit.
I think Gordon, Jermaine Defoe, fantastic player, but you're saying what the impact he's made at Rangers. What impact did he make at Rangers?
Well, I think
he scored 13 goals in the league, I think. I might be wrong on that, but
is that not all right though, Sean, for a second choice guy? If that's your main guy getting that number, you're probably concerned, but you know, as a backup, that's not a bad return, is it?
I think with regards to the Edward situation, I've actually not really caught the news much the last couple of days, but I don't know if negotiations have stalled. Now, if Celtic are willing to pay 4, 5, 6 million, I would rather Celtic broke the bank and paid Edward the extra wages, because we're going to get a return on that investment anyway. But we're talking about Edward, there was Dembele before him. I actually think Lee Griffiths is, I'm not saying he's every bit as good as Edward, but Lee Griffiths, 9 times out of 10, he puts the ball on target. He's the type of player that Celtic need as a backup. For somebody like Stephen Fletcher, I don't know what kind of money he would look for. I don't know what sort of contribution he would make. And the difference between Fletcher and Defoe is we're a winning team. We're going for a historic season. I don't think we could be justifying bringing players in just to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but you're talking about a backup. You're talking about, look, if obviously Edward's got to stay, right? I said that this campaign, I'd be looking as a manager, if I was Neil Lennon, looking at 4 centre forwards. I think you need that throughout the season with the amount of games. And if you're bringing a Fletcher in, and once again, I'm not mentioning, I'm only going with what's getting reported out there, that Fletcher's name getting thrown about. Could they do a ton for a season for Celtic? I've no doubt not. Yeah,
to be second or even third choice within the four.
Yes.
On you go, Sean.
Sorry, Gordon. I was going to agree with Gordon to a certain extent that it's been my opinion since Lent. I was actually in the airport in Dusseldorf coming back to the Dortmund game when Rodgers left. And I said to my pal, Neil Lennon, I think Lennon's done a great job, but I think with the four strikers, I'd agree with Gordon Dazler. In terms of Neil Lennon, he likes to play about with systems more than Rodgers did. Like, we'll play 2 up front, we'll 1 up front, we'll play 5 in the middle of the park, we'll play 3 in the middle of the park. So I don't think that's out of the question. I just think if we're going to be spending money, we need to spend the money in the right places. I don't think Stephen Fletcher, in my opinion, is the right place to be spent, because he'll probably command a decent wage, I'd imagine.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, you wouldn't have the transfer fee, Mark, which is a huge bonus, or not much initial outlay, I should say.
I don't think, you know, if you're getting any striker for the Championship, it's going to cost you a fair bit. An internationalist for the Championship is still going to cost you a decent wage. If you're paying a decent wage for somebody that's going to be third choice striker, then I think some Celtic fans would question that and think they could maybe get a younger, better asset.
We're running out of time, so forgive me for just cutting in there. And it is a bit of a snapshot, but I've just remembered that, you know, the last sort of Scotland games he played, the Nations League, it was arguably James Forrest's best games for Scotland. Ryan Christie, and then Ryan Fraser on the other side, who I get doesn't play for Celtic. But these guys seem to really thrive on playing off Stephen Fletcher. Is that what the sort of plan would be?
I think that's his strength, Gordon. I don't think you would bring him up to knock you in 30 goals a season, right? I don't think that would be the plan. I think it would be the case of bringing Forrest, Christie, El Yanoussi, people at the, you know, with the runs. I think he'd be brilliant as a link-up player. Whether Celtic could decide to go down that route or not, I don't know. But if it was Celtic brought him in, I wouldn't certainly question it.
Sean and Kilmarnock, we can revisit this another time, I'm sure. Thank you for getting in touch. Looking for three more of those super subs, guys that made more than 12 sub appearances in a single season for Celtic during Mark Wilson's time.
Samaras.
Yes.
Oh yes.
Well done.
Oh,
you've got Chris Killen, sure. Van der Snow, Georgios Samaras, Paddy McCourt. You've got
have we 12 to get
three
here?
To get. No,
I've wrote 7 12.
Three to get. Quick.
Zheng Zi.
Nope.
Who's Zheng Zi?
Zheng Zi, Chinese guy.
Let me see what's on Twitter. Christopher Wren has got a couple. He's also gone Yarasik, which is wrong.
Darn a day.
No.
Yarasik wrong.
Did Paul Hartley play with you?
What about someone who went to Aberdeen?
Niall McGinn.
Yes.
Ah.
What about someone who came from Motherwell?
Stephen Pearson.
Yes. Aye. And this guy went on to be player of the year, I think, but he obviously just spent a lot of time in the bench in one of the seasons.
Player of the year with Celtic? In Scotland?
I think so.
Gary Caldwell.
Thompson.
Chris Commons.
No.
Yeah, 14 sub appearances in the 11-12 season. There you go.
What was that, yeah?
We got there in the end. Thank you, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale. Back tomorrow, 6 o'clock. Going to react to tonight's defeat in Leverkusen for Rangers. We're going to be around all the clubs as well, looking ahead to the weekend. So it'll be a really busy show. Make sure you join us. Callum Gallagher is up next.